Mrs. Norbury was delighted to see them, as she always was to see any man in her house who came up to the necessary standard of eligibility. When her life work was completed and summed up in those beautiful words, "A marriage has been arranged and will shortly take place between Angela, daughter of the late John Norbury," then she would utter a graceful nunc dimittis and depart in peace to a better world, if heaven insisted. But preferably to her new son-in-law's more dignified establishment, for there was no doubt that eligibility meant not only eligibility as a husband. But it was not as eligibles that the visitors from the Red House were received with such eagerness today, and even if her special smile for possibles was there, it was instinctive rather than reasoned. All that she wanted at this moment was news, news of Mark, for she was bringing it off at last, and if the engagement columns of the Morning Post were preceded, as in the case of its obituary columns, by a premonitory bulletin, the announcement of yesterday would have cried triumphantly to the world, or to such part of the world as mattered, "A marriage has very nearly been arranged by Mrs. Norbury, and will certainly take place between Angela, only daughter of the late John Norbury, and Mark Ablett of the Red House." And coming across it on his way to the sporting page, Bill would have been surprised, for he had thought that, if anybody, it was Cayley. To the girl it was neither. She was often amused by her mother's ways, sometimes ashamed of them, sometimes distressed by them. The Mark Ablett affair had seemed to her particularly distressing, for Mark was so obviously in league with her mother against her. Other suitors upon whom her mother had smiled had been embarrassed by that championship. Mark appeared to depend on it as much as on his own attractions, great though he thought these to be. They went a-wooing together. It was a pleasure to turn to Cayley, that hopeless ineligible.